Hi, Glenda. This is Elizabeth Grant calling from New York. I just wanted to thank you, Yeshua, and the community for the prayers you sent for my friend George French, who had heart trouble. He had a heart valve replacement surgery on Thursday. It went extremely well. He came out of the hospital on Friday, and it's just a miracle. He sounds so much better, and I think it was a life-changing experience for him. His faith has increased. I think he's going to change his life around, and I think it's just a complete miracle. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, it's Glenda. My name is Mary. And for the last couple months, I've been trying to kick an addiction to a prescription medication. And I feel really, really bad. I'm having a really, really rough time. And I'd like a special blessing to help me get through it. Thank you.
Hi, Glenda. This is Nancy from Florida. I pressed #6 in order to ask what has happened to the sound. I could hear a person asking a question about addiction to a pain medication, but I haven't been able to hear any answers or comments that you've been making. I'm not sure what's happened. So my question is there a button you need to push or something so that I can hear all the people who are speaking? I think mostly I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
All right, we've got it fixed. Thank you for calling in, Nancy. I appreciate that. And I see that a lot of other people called in, maybe for the same subject. But it's nice to see your number on the call board anyway. Nancy, was there a blessing you wanted to ask for or just for my voice?
Well, I can always use a blessing, and I thank you for it. So I would ask a blessing that I can fully realize Mr. Kinlow's healing book. I'm working on it. It seems wonderful, but I really would like to elevate my understanding of it and really fully participate in that pure awareness field.
I will actually help you with something I have to say in my message today. And for the benefit of the rest of you listening, the book Nancy is reading is one that's recommended for preparation for our blessing seminar for people coming to the seminar to learn to be blessing givers. And it's a good time to make an announcement about that, Nancy. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. That's coming up a little over a month from now in Corpus Christi. Anyone who has a calling to be in this place of greater union with our Father in heaven, our Father Creator, the Holy Spirit, and Yeshua, for the benefit of the entire earth and our human family, please think about being here. Please come. It will be a time that will change your life, and one person alone can change the world, as Yeshua demonstrated. And not only he, we think, well, sure, his life would have changed the world. He's the Son of God. But think about how many other single individuals have also changed the world. Gautama Siddhartha, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, the Blessed Mother, Martin Luther King, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and the list goes on and on. People who changed the world as individuals. We were all, and of course that includes all the apostles, it includes all the saints, and it includes, in many ways, industrial leaders. Look at the great developers of the computer. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, they changed the world. Albert Einstein changed the world. You don't have to be a big group to change the world. This is one of the big, big myths of the common age that we're in right now. Is this is the corporate age. This is the age of the global society, the global network. But my friends, it's still one person at a time that changes the world. And that hasn't changed since Adam was created. It's one person at a time. It could be a high school teacher. It could be a medical doctor. It could be a policeman. It could be a first responder after a natural disaster. It could be someone who intervenes in a dangerous situation and prevents it from escalating. It's always one person. Do not ever, ever underestimate yourself at what you as one person can do. And once you know the true power of prayer, you will know that the same power applies to truly intense and deep meditation. It applies to the blessing. And it applies to soul deep communication, one-to-one, between persons. And it can, that level of communication can change the world. It's actually been demonstrated in quantum physics, of all places, that a butterfly in China deciding to fly north instead of south can either set off or stop a storm in North America. That's how connected we all are. And so often, it's not the group that does the big deal. And you know why? There's a very good reason for it. Is because inside the group, we tend to lose our individuality. We tend to give it up for conformity. This is one thing Yeshua did not allow among his apostles. In fact, when he was getting ready to leave, he sent them each in separate directions to different parts of the world. He did not want them to go together. He sent them into different countries, into different language groups, and he taught them that they needed to adapt and serve those communities they went into. And I can tell you from years and years of work inside myself, with myself, work with other people, and listening to Yeshua. Everything you have found in the Christian religion that you have ever not liked, although it's going to be different for each person, but everything you have ever not liked is traceable to conformity. Every single thing you have ever not liked was because of conformity. Conformity of a particular doctrine. You had to see it the same way somebody else did. You had to say the words the same way. And some of the words offended you, but somebody else liked those words. Everything you didn't like was conformity. Well, I'm going to teach you how to go to a place of existence that is 99% of all that is, the quantum field. And the irony of the quantum field is it has never been divided. It has never been disunified, and it needs no conformity in order to all hang together. You see, only the material world that got divided, like bricks and mortar, trees and flowers, wind and grass, all the elements that got divided and subdivided, and therefore need to be reunited, are the ones that need to be put in classes of, and subclasses of, are they vegetable, mineral, gas, liquid? And if they're vegetable, are they trees, are they shrubs, are they flowers, are they whatever? If they're animals, well, are they mammals, or are they fish, or are they insects? Or do they have an exoskeleton, or do they have an inner skeleton? You know, we have to start putting things back together inside the world of division. But in that 99% of all that is, that never got divided, we don't need conformity. That's something that your mind is going to look at and go, huh? What did she just say? But once you feel it from the inside out, you'll say, well, of course. No wonder when I pray, I just don't care anymore about what's going on around me, because I know the answer is here. The answer is not there. And then we come out of our prayer, and all of a sudden things are working better than they were. And we don't know why. We wonder why, but we don't know why. We think, oh, well, it just must be a mystery. It's just God's will working. Well, of course that's true. But God's will is always working. It's not something new. It's always in this place of unity, always in this place of union, where we are all that we have ever been, all that we ever will be, and we're all one soul. I created an essential oil blend to celebrate the one soul, because it represents the closest thing to how I, if I were going to smell something, what I would smell, and sometimes what I actually do smell when I'm in that place. It's called one soul. And for me, that's my second favorite after Christ scent. Of course, Christ scent will always be my favorite because it helps me be closer to Him. And I like that because He taught us how to be in both worlds. He taught us how to walk in the world of division and subdivision, and also how to be in the world of union with God, where there's never been any division. So thanks, Nancy, for giving me that little opportunity to say something about what we're all going to learn at the Blessing Seminar and what everybody receives every Sunday here in Christ's Blessing. We have a wireless caller from area code 321.
Hi, Glenn. It's Scott.
Hi, Scott.
I had a really good experience that's almost like a dream to relate. It's hard to believe it's real, but it did happen.
Uh-huh.
I was invited to speak at the Marion Correctional Institution here in the Florida area, and I spoke about synchronicity, the zero point, innocent perception, reality, and of course I used the people that exemplified that, such as Socrates, Maslow, Galileo, Pasteur, Tesla, Einstein, and
mm-hmm.
It was just a great experience to be able to light those people up and think about the rights we have to make our experience better and our community better, and just a huge privilege, and I wanted to say thank you for that.
Oh, wow, that is awesome. Thank you, Scott. Thank you. And you're exemplifying exactly what I was saying. One person can make a huge difference in the life of many. So thank you for being that one person and stepping up to the plate. That's great.
My pleasure.
God bless you, too. And we have a caller from area code 512. Hi, you're on. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, I hear you.
Oh, good. This is Julie from Texas.
Hi, Julie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Just great. How are you?
Very good. The comment the individual made earlier about Dr. Kinslow's book and your response, it made me think of another well-known author. I'm going to forget his name, but he has many books. They always have two names, like Power versus Force is the one that came to mind. And here in your response to her, I'm not exactly sure what you said. It was about unity and how that sort of worked together. It really made me understand that whole power versus force concept. And
David Hawkins, who wrote that.
Exactly. And a concept I've always kind of not quite got from Love Without End is the concept of compression. And I never really got it because I guess compression sounds uncomfortable to me.
Well, you know, Julie, I can make that real easy in the context we've just been talking about, because in the material world of bricks and mortar, compression is very uncomfortable. And it does exactly what happens in a combustion engine in a car. It pushes gases and gases together and causes them to fire, and that's what generates energy. So it is uncomfortable in the material world. But the interesting thing about it is that we, as beings that live both in the material world and the spiritual world, when we begin to practice compression in our daily life, in the sense of doing two things at the same time, it helps us to move into that side of existence where compression is so graceful and so simple. It's easy to think two thoughts at the same time. It's easy to talk on the phone and wash the dishes at the same time, because we're really not doing it in the material world.
Yeah, so in your answer to her, I was then thinking about the compression concept and, you know, Jesus' example in quantum space, how we're all one. And I thought, oh, well, that's so easy. You
exactly.
know, they were just, the goats were just being the goats and the grass was just being the grass, and they were all in a place of unity. And so it worked, and I got it.
Great. Great.
And I just wanted to share that.
So glad, and I hope that helps everybody else, because, see, that's the thing, is a tree is not going to get this idea, because a tree doesn't live in both places. But we do, just like Yeshua demonstrated, we do. And so when we practice loving somebody, let's say our next-door neighbor and our kids that live halfway around the world, and we can do it all at the same time, we get it. Because there's no time and space in that dimension of existence. We're all one, and we're all in the same time, and we're all in the same space. And that's how he can be with all of us at the same time. And it's just marvelous. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that sharing, and I consider that a blessing. So we're going to take a call from a wireless caller, but the area code is 413. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's June from Massachusetts.
Hi, June.
I'm calling because I'm asking a blessing for two people, Diane and Sarah, and both of them have cancer, and it's quite metastasized, and at church, a lot of us prayed with hands on for Sarah today, and I felt something. She said she felt something. There's so many of us. Anyway, I had a kind of a feeling of a good feeling, you know, about the whole thing, one way or the other. You know, it doesn't necessarily, I don't know, I feel like what I understand is our soul and is an extension of God, and so our soul and God decide, have already decided, so there may be more time for, you know, Sarah because of that, I don't know, or Diane, but either way, I really don't like cancer at all. I mean, I wish there was, from what I read in the Course in Miracles, there is no sickness, so it's of the body, not of the spirit. You know, is that true?
Yes. Well, yes, and it depends on what you call the spirit.
Okay.
There are diseases in the mind, okay? And the mind is half in one world and half in the other.
Okay.
So on the level of the pure soul, there is no illness.
Well, that's what I meant by spirit.
Okay.
It's confusing in one
well,
sense
yes,
when you say it out loud.
Spirit crosses a lot of different categories.
Yeah.
We could talk about the spirit of the moment, the spirit of a gesture, the spirit of a thought. You know, it crosses a lot of boundaries, so I was just trying to be very clear for you.
Yes, and I think that's a really important a clarity to make, too, because there are such things as illnesses of the spirit in this world.
Yes, there are. We can have a bad attitude for so long that life really conforms to it.
Well, that's a thought. So we're manifesting from our own attitude and our own perceptions.
We can have a loss of faith for so long that nothing good happens for us. So you see, inside this world, spirit can be the steering wheel for our life. And sometimes it doesn't steer us in the right direction. If we look in the purest realm of spirit, where we are one with God, there is no disease. And actually, this is one of the things we're going to talk about in depth in our webinar that's starting today, Thy Will Be Done, is that everything in the Lord's Prayer was about restoring our intimacy with the Father, which is why he did not call him God, as in the supreme ruler, but Father. Our intimacy with the Father is the restoration of our soul. It is what brings forth the good things in life. It is what restores the innocence of our life. And so, you know, we really have to look at our spiritual life a little bit like a ladder that we climb from earth to heaven, the lowest rung being our mind, and then a little bit up, and a little bit up, and a little bit up until we are in the kingdom of heaven. And I think this is what Jacob's ladder was manifesting in his dream, when he saw in his dream of the coming of the state of Israel and the blessings of God that would descend from heaven onto earth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I had never thought of that. I mean, it kind of does. Can you, I heard the words, but I didn't quite feel the meaning of the words, so I don't quite get it.
Let them percolate, okay?
Okay.
All right, because in the Lord's Prayer, it's our Father, and our Father has an intimacy to it that,
yes,
God does not have.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
And that was intentional. Just as everything in the Lord's Prayer was intentional, unfortunately, it hasn't been translated accurately. So we're going to look at that in depth in our webinar. But thank you for this discussion. It was great. And I need to move on. We've got to start our blessing, and we've got a couple more. I'm going to just ask for a blessing from area code 828. You're on.
Hi, Glenda. This is David. I'm still in Albuquerque, and I wanted to ask for a blessing for myself and for my partner, Janice. We're both in a reinventing our lives place, and
okay.
a lot of stuff coming up, you know, not, you know, bad or anything, but anxieties and stuff, and I had to go challenge him a couple of days ago. On my birthday, I went up and was climbing with her, and I was terrified. I'm adept at doing these things, but I'm still scared to do them, and it's pushing myself to get out of comfort zones and taking initiative, and all that is just seems to be going back to the past and reminding me how scared I should be, and I keep telling myself I'm a liar. I shouldn't be scared. I need to just do it. And so that's the moving forward and getting out of comfort zones to do that.
Right. Okay. Well, we will ask a blessing for your strength and your self-confidence.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Ken, you're on, but we've got to move pretty quickly.
Yes, Glenda, everything you've been saying is absolutely magnificent today. It's really brought up a lot of wonderful thoughts and ideas and realizations, and I don't really want to go into a lot of detail because I kind of want to get to the point of the call, and that's basically asking for a blessing for three very special people that I know. There's Robert, there's Cynthia, and there's Sarah. And all three of these people have been working tirelessly to expose some very, very, very difficult news and realizations to people on the planet about the abuse of children.
Oh.
And on how the abuse of children goes far beyond physical abuse and family abuse, but it goes into the whole field of childhood abduction. And abduction for people using for sexual purposes and some very evil rituals. And it's my belief and it's their belief that this practice that has been taking place within humanity for thousands of years is really the root, the absolute core root of so much of the warpage that we see within all of global society today. And the reason that I'm calling is because all of these people that I mentioned, all of the children, all of the abusers, all of the people complicit within this cover-up, and all of the people that are trying to get to the truth and get to the restoration of human dignity need to have a blessing.
I so agree. My heart goes out to you and to them. And I have done my own studies in this area. They are really so true.
Yes.
I know a therapist who used to work with lifetimers in prison, and in their therapy, it almost all traced back to childhood.
This topic, I actually sent you an email last night on this topic.
Oh, good.
And all I can say is that for anybody who is interested, I mean, you better have a strong heart, because when you start learning the depth and the severity, the absolute total psychosis of how deep this thing goes, it is horrifying.
It is.
But the fact is that when you think about it spiritually, when you think about it psychically, and this is the way I see it, there's only one reason why this planet is not heaven on earth. And that is because there is a very serious demonic force keeping it from getting there. And from everything that I see, this one practice is the root of that demonic force. And so the more that I can look at it and give grace to certainly the victims, that's easy, but to all of the abusers and all of the people that are caught into this trap, that are caught into this web. They need our forgiveness, they need our support, and they need us to see the light inside of them so that they can get out of their own trap, so that then they can let the earth and the planet and all of us become that which we already are but cannot see.
Absolutely. And Ken, you need to be a blessing giver. You really understand what we're doing.
Yeah.
Eva, and Ken, thank you so much. I've got one more caller. Eva, I'm gonna put you on, and then we're gonna start our blessing, okay? Eva, you're on.
Hi. Thank you. I want to thank you for last week after I called for a blessing. For a particular situation, I just felt so different afterwards, so thank you very much for that. Now I am dealing with backaches recently, and I think they are definitely related to what you were just talking about, past things, and I think it's because I'm getting into areas which are sort of new for me in a way, and I know I'm doing things differently in my life when I come up into situations that were former situations. And the one is in Mount Holly, which I mentioned last week, there are a lot of homeless people, and there are people that really want to help the homeless people, but it is very complicated. And there is a group that wants to, a church that wants to give land to somebody to do micro housing for them. But one of the persons on the board is a man who has been doing homeless housing, but he does not keep up the houses. And many times police are being called, and the people don't like him. And I found out that he's suing the township when he doesn't get what he wants. And yet he's a minister posing as somebody that really loves the homeless. But it appears that it's just a business. And so this really gets complicated. And I do want a blessing that we know how to move. There's many people that are interested now in helping the homeless people, but how to go about it is really difficult, especially when you run up against somebody that looks like he's just exploiting the system and using state funds to do this.
There are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing, for sure.
And he can be.
Thank you. We've got that on our list. And, you know, one of the things I am so pleased about is that the requests today have been so profound, so important, so much there, not just for one person, but for us all, realizing that we are all beneficiaries of every blessing. Every single person who changes the world changes it for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we remember that always, then you will take time every day, my friends, to pray. You will take time every day to smile, to send a letter, a card, or wishes to someone who needs to be cheered, to do something that makes a difference. And you will do that every day. And as you do that every day, it activates all of the blessings that have been given to you. So let's begin, and I would ask that all of you be seated comfortably, just totally relaxed in your seat, except for blessing givers who will stand with me. Just simply allow your body to melt into the chair. Allow your mind to just hit the turn-off switch. Allow your head to just naturally bow like it would if you just nodded off in your chair. Take a deep breath and feel your heart inflating with life. As you breathe, feel that breath being the breath of love. And put that into your heart. Expand your heart with love. And then exhale that love into the world. Continue doing that as I offer my prayer to Yeshua. Then begin your prayer while the blessing givers and I conduct the energy of the blessing. Dear Yeshua, I am so grateful to be part of this wonderful group of people who care so much about others and about the world, and who want their own lives to be exemplary lives as children of God. I ask that you bless each one, and not only each one, but everyone that each one touches or thinks about in life or in prayer. I ask that you be with all the children of the earth. I ask that you be with all the plants and the animals of the earth. I ask that you be with the earth. And of course, with all of your brothers and sisters. As we strive each in our own way the best we can to walk with you, I pray that you feed the hungry, that you sit with the lonely, and you give comfort to the bereaved, that you cure our sense of loss in knowing that there is a place where nothing is lost, and there is a place where we are all one. In your name, and in the grace of our Heavenly Father, we pray. Amen. Amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's for you to fully receive. So go and lie down for at least 7 minutes. And don't think. Don't think about anything. Just rest. And it's okay if you fall asleep. Just don't think. And I look forward to being with you again next week. God bless you. Have a lovely week. And much love to all of you.